Are you there?
Yeah.
Call to order and welcome. We would like to welcome you to the March 26, 2025 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. The commission is appointed by the City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or non-profit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are used by the commission to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah local historic and conservation districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not significantly identified within the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within the commission's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for decisions. Please turn off all cell phones. Let's start with signposting. Members of the commission received an electronic agenda this week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were any projects not properly posted this month? Okay, hearing no response, I will assume that is okay, and we will go on to the next item. We'll start with a consent agenda. And I believe we have a member of the public that would like to speak on item number three. And I believe we, Jonathan, I think we need to remove item number three off the consent agenda and put it on the regular agenda.
Okay. Yes, if one of you would like to make a motion to move it.
Someone would like to make a motion?
I'll have a motion that we remove item number three for a petition of J. Elder Studio. 1011 Jefferson Street, 24-004714-COA to the regular agenda.
Kathy Labina, second.
Oh, sorry, Pat Richardson.
Okay, let's take a vote.
Katrina Horning, sorry.
Okay, it's fine.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Brian Woods, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Scott Krautzer, approve.
Kathy Labina, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Intriga approves, and the motion carries. All right, so consent agenda. I'd like to have a motion to the motion for the approval of the consent agenda with as it stands now.
This is Pam Miller. I make a motion to approve the consent agenda with the change just approved.
Katrina Horning, I second the motion.
Brian Woods, second the motion. Approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Scott Krautzer, approve.
Kathy Labina, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Dentrico, approve. The motion carries. Let's do the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the meeting agenda of March 26th, 2025?
Katrina Hornung, I make a motion to adopt the agenda with the addition of the J. Elder Studio petition.
Pam Miller, approve. Oh, I'm sorry, second.
Brian Woods, approve.
Okay, let's do take a vote. We'll start with Katrina.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Brian Woods, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Scott Krautzer, approve.
Kathy Labina, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Dentrico also approved. The motion carries. Let's do the approvals of the previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? If not, I'm going to ask for someone to do a motion to approve the minutes.
Pat Richardson, I'll offer a motion that we approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
This is Pam Miller, a second.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Brian Woods, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Scott Krautzer, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Notrika, move. The motion carries. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. If there are items listed, ask for a motion to approve those items.
There are none this month.
There are none this time, so we will go on to the continued agenda. And there are items that have been continued, deferred to the next meeting, or to a date certain for the staff has determined incomplete at the time. Can I get a motion on the continued agenda?
Katrina Horning, I make a motion to approve the continued agenda.
Brian was a second.
Okay, let's start on the vote with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Scott Krautzer, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Brian was approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve. The motion carries. Okay, do we have any request for extensions?
None this month.
Okay, so we can skip that. Let's go on to the regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district: Victorian District, Kyler Brownville District, Streetcar District, Conservation District. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board asks the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less, and only address items identified as consistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussions, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussions by calling on each board member for two rounds of 2 minutes, comments or less. Board members are not required to comment. If you are joining us virtually for the first time, locate your control panel. Public that wishes to submit comment, use the raise your hand feature. I will be notified and I will call on you by name. You will submit your name for the record and then you may comment. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. So let's start. Jonathan, let's start with the regular agenda. Great. Okay. First item will be petition of Juan Hernandez Sanchez, 25-000505 COA, 1011 West 40th Street.
Afternoon, this is Kelly. So again, the applicant is requesting after the fact approval to construct a rear addition and to rehabilitate the structure at 1011 West 40th Street. The applicant is also requesting approval for a special exception from the standard that reads additions shall be subordinate in mass and height to the resource. As y'all may remember, this came in front of y'all last month for review. This came in as an after-the-fact application for rehabilitation and for an addition. Literally, majority of the materials had been taken off and work had begun. At this meeting, the commission chose to continue the project because the application was incomplete and due to the amount of questions that needed to be addressed by the applicant. So the applicant has come back with updated drawings and with supplemental information that has addressed many of the questions that the board had. Just as a quick note before we get started, the applicant did remove the side carport that was previously proposed, so that won't be reviewed at this time. So a major part of this project is with the rear addition. It's with the rear addition. Since the previous meeting, the applicant has submitted a request for a special exception from the standard that reads additions shall be subordinate in mass and height to the resources. The applicant would like to retain the current addition as it is, so it will be same width and same height as the current building. A special exception is only required for option one in the application, is not required for option two. So staff did review this project up against the special exception criteria. With regards to the first criteria, staff finds that the project meets the goals and objectives of the comp plan, specifically Chapter 6, as well as provisions of the ordinance. The ability to construct a viable addition will allow the home to continue to be used as a home. It will allow for more available housing stock within Savannah, which we desperately need. Staff also finds the proposed design is visually compatible. Staff also finds that the proposed addition will not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses in general vicinity. Staff finds that the addition will allow the home's continued use, is visually compatible, and will allow the home to retain its appropriate scale and mass. Beyond the special exception request, staff finds that the proposed addition for option one, as shown, meets the standards and is visually compatible. As discussed throughout the staff report, much of the original materials has been removed, so the house has lost much, if not all, of its historic integrity. Staff does recommend that a vertical piece of trim or something similar be installed to help visually differentiate the addition from the primary structure. The applicant also provided a second option for the board to review in case the board did not find that the special exception criteria were met and did not find the previous addition to meet the standards. And staff found that this proposed addition also meets the standards. With that, the previous staff recommendation did have multiple conditions with it. The first condition was met with the application of the special exception. The second was confirmed by the applicant. The third was also met when the carport was removed. The remainder of the conditions were also met by the applicant, and staff felt that the standards were met. With that, staff did recommend two additional kind of recommendations with the submittal of the new design. One again is the installation of that vertical element if option one is approved. Again, that will help with visual differentiation from the old and the new. And the second is just a general request that the applicant let staff know if any work needs to be done on the foundation of the primary home. With that, staff recommends approval of the after-the-fact work to construct a rear addition, option one, and to rehabilitate the structure at 1011 West 40th Street with the conditions listed on the screen, and to approve the special exception request from the standard that reads additions shall be subordinate in mass and height to the resource. That is an error to allow the addition that's the same size and width as primary structure. That's kind of a lot of information. So if the board has any questions, feel free to reach out, feel free to ask.
Thank you. Do any commissioners have questions for the staff? Okay, can we talk to the petitioner?
Applicant is here as well.
Good afternoon, my name is Juan Hernandez. I'm the petitioner and owner of the property. Can I address any questions you might have?
Kathy Labana, I've got a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you installing a door to the porch?
No, well, there was no door when I had it. It was a screen, if that makes sense. It didn't have a wooden frame door on there. It was just a screen.
A screen door. Yes, ma'am. Is that screen door?
I was planning to use the same screen door. Yes, ma'am.
What's the purpose? If there isn't a purpose, I'd like to see it gone.
Okay.
Are you okay with removing
I'm comfortable
the screen
with that.
Door?
Let me make note of that. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, are there any further comments from Chairman? All right. What about any member of the public wish to speak about this project? Okay. I don't hear anything from the public. I don't see any hands raised. We will go into board discussion. Let's start with start with Brianna. Let's start with Katrina.
Katrina Hornung. I agree with staff recommendations on this one.
Brian Woods, I agree with staff recommendation.
This is Pam Miller. I agree with staff recommendation. I just want to thank the petitioner for being so quick to get back to us with the changes that we requested from last month's hearing. Thank you.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff's recommendations. I have no comments at this time.
Scott Krotzer, I just had a couple of comments. I was wondering if any of the original cladding was being reused on the house. I noticed that there was some in the pictures. These pictures that we have today were not what I saw originally because I looked at the first entry. And I was just wondering if any of those materials we put back on, or is it all going to be new siding?
You'll need to ask the applicant. I'm unaware if any of the existing siding remains in terms of kept it, but you can ask the applicant.
The property had extensive termite damage that bled into the outside cladding. Yeah, it was really nice. You could tell higher quality wood, but the termites got to it.
Okay.
And so I figured it was best just whole new wooden siding on the exterior.
Awesome. And then the rhythm of the windows is the second example, the single sash. Is that what's approved, or the large window with all the lights in it? I'm just wondering about the rhythm of the...
It was just an option. Whichever was recommended by the board, I would go with.
Thank you.
Which option was that for the board that y'all recommend, the sliding or the double?
Pat Richardson, they chose option one. So which one is option one?
Yeah, that was.
The one on my left, it'll be this one right here, is option one. We did receive a different drawing that showed this one as a double, like a pair of double hung, and staff found that that was more compatible. We just pulled this one up for the slideshow.
Okay, thank you.
Kathy LaVarner, so for clarification, it's the double 1:1.
Mm, yes, ma'am.
That's what you're approving. And then further clarification, is the ridgeline, has the ridgeline been dropped in the addition? Is that what I'm seeing on the right hand?
Yeah, on the right hand. So that's option two. So that will be the other option if the board does not find option one, the one you left, to be appropriate.
Oh, so it's not ridgeline drop as well as the vertical.
Yeah, so for option two, it's coming, is the ridge is coming down, and then it's also inset. We're talking about maybe six inches to a foot difference.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have any additional comments from anyone on the commission? Courtney?
I agree with the staff recommendation.
All right, anybody else?
Kathy Levine, I would like to state that screen door be removed.
Okay. Would somebody like to make a motion? Kathy?
Kathy Levine, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Juan Hernandez Sanchez 25-000505-C0A at 1011 West 40th Street with the following conditions as listed, and to include a fourth condition of the removal of the screen door from the porch, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance. And approve the special exemption request from the standard that reads, additions shall be subordinate in mass and height to the resource. To all and add an addition that is,
to
allow an addition that is the same width and height as the historic resource.
Pat Richardson, second.
Okay, having a motion and a second, let's go to a vote. We'll start with Katrina.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Brian Woods, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Scott Krauser, approve.
Kathy Labina, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Natrika, approve. The motion carries. Next item is the petition of Hestia Community Partners, Brianna Paxton, 25-001118, Certificate of Appropriateness for 605 West 32nd Street.
Good afternoon, Dan. This is Kelly. So the applicant is requesting approval for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a two-story duplex as well as a two-story dwelling unit. Just to make the board aware, this project did previously go in front of the ZBA to request of approval for the footprint of the ADU. The ZBA did allow the ADU to be up to 610 square feet, which is more than 40% of the proposed duplex. The ZBA also approved relief from the 125% minimum lot area required to establish an ADU. In majority of cases, this project like this would come in front of y'all for recommendation to ZBA, but that is not required in this case. It was kind of preferable for them to go in front of ZBA first. The applicant is also requesting a recombination of 605 West 32nd and 0 Burrows. That is not something that this board would review. So when reviewing this overall project, staff analyzed the surrounding context to determine if a two-story accessory building and a two-story duplex would be appropriate in this context. Staff include this map that you see on your screen. Everything highlighted in red are two-story residential homes. And then everything in orange is two-story commercial, and the property in question is this property right here. So there is precedence for a two-story residential building in the immediate context. Staff also examined the footprint of the contributing buildings in this immediate area. You'll see some of the numbers right here on the screen. A full list of dimensions was provided within the staff report. Staff found that the footprint of the proposed main structure was compatible with what you see in the immediate context as well. The staff finds that the massing scale and size of the structure is visually compatible. Staff also examined some of the contributing ADUs in the area to determine if a two-story ADU would be appropriate. Staff found a couple within relative close distance of the property questions right here, ADUs are here. The staff found that a two-story ADU could be inappropriate in this case, given that there are examples in the immediate area. With that, staff finds that the height, mass, and scale of the buildings are visually compatible and meet the standards, given that there are similarly designed structures in the area. While much of the proposed work meets the standards, there are some concerns that staff have with this project. One is proposed deck on this accessory dwelling unit. It's about 8 feet deep, not counting the stairs. That is something you don't see in this immediate area, so staff finds that it's not visually compatible. If the applicant wants to reduce maybe the depth of this or add a balcony or something similar, staff could support that. We cannot support this given the depth of it. The applicant also needs to confirm if any of the elevations will be visible from the street. Staff is mainly concerned with the elevation that will be visible from Burrow Street. Per the ordinance, any elevation on the first floor must have a 30% transparency for residential buildings. It was unclear if this first floor will be visible, but the applicant needs to confirm that. The applicant does question whether or not this is a residential building, and if that would apply, but all the applicant explained that. Other elements that need to be confirmed or addressed include the design of the proposed driveway for the accessory building, the pitch of the roof of the main house. The elevations show one pitch, the cross section show another. Both are compatible. We just need to know which one she's using. The applicant should include a sidewalk from the main house to the public sidewalk as well. Applicant appears to be amenable to that. We just need it on the site plan. The applicant should also provide any lighting specifications if lighting will be proposed in the future. So with that, the staff recommends approval of the new construction small part 1 and 2 for the two-story primary building and a two-story accessory dwelling unit with the conditions that you see on the screen. So again, a lot of information. Does the commission have any questions?
Any commissioners have any questions for the staff?
This is Pam Miller. Can I clarify then, talking about the facades and the ground floor facade, it says here, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of skipping around here. Give me just one second. So for the transparency standard, you applied 30%, and here it says it could be 50%, even if it's a non-residential. Is that correct? Am I getting that?
So the applicant is saying that since the first floor is a garage, that's not technically residential, so that 30% rule would not apply. But if the board finds that this garage is a non-residential use, under the ordinance, non-residential unit uses have to have at least 50%.
So that if we rule that this is non-residential, it'll have to be 50%.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
In the past, y'all have typically said 30, but the applicant did bring this up, so we want to make the board aware.
Okay, so that would be that choice. Thank you.
Kathy Ledbina, my question is about the front door design. I didn't see a cut sheet on those front doors, and I was just wondering if that design was appropriate. It almost reminds me of the diamond or the half moon, unless there is a detail, you know, like a Victorian detail. But I didn't see a cut sheet for those. Have you seen the – it appears that the upper portion of that door is a window, not the transom. Right there.
Yeah, so
right there.
That's how staff read it, and staff does find that appropriate. But again, if the commission does not, y'all can request a different design.
All right. Thank you.
Any additional comments from commissioners?
Yes, one more. Scott Krotzer. I was wondering the definition of area. Is that Kyler Brownsville as the area and not just what's seen from the structure itself? Because the two-story dwellings seem to be behind it.
Yeah, so for visual compatibility, it's typically in the past we've done it with whatever is visible from that particular building. These just happen to be the closest that were available. And unfortunately, in this district, there aren't a lot of contributing accessory buildings, so we kind of had to expand that a little bit. But if the board feels that that's too far out, y'all can make that ruling.
I just feel like that block of neighborhood is all smaller dwellings, and this might be a monster there. Also, materiality. I have a concern with the drawings look spectacular, and I'm just wondering, material-wise, if I'm not mistaken, it's hardy board.
Yes, sir. Right. Yeah, so for non-contributing buildings, they are allowed to use hardy board.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you.
Kevin Levina, one more question. From the lane, I thought they had up to a 5-foot turning radius for a setback, and this was set back way further.
And kind of the thing with this lot is there's a 7.5-foot easement on that alley side, so theoretically they cannot pull it into the 5-foot to that easement.
So they have to remain 7.5 feet.
Yeah, minimum.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
All right. Hearing no other questions from other commissioners, can we have the petitioner step forward and state your name for the record?
Hi, my name is Brianna Paxton. I'm here representing the property owner, South Street LLC. I just wanted to point out, as an overview, this property will be deeded to the owner's son, who recently moved back to the area and works for a local contractor. This person will live in one unit and rent out the other unit, so this will be a homeowner-occupied redevelopment once it's done. As staff pointed out, this is smack dab in the middle of Kyler Brownsville. I have a series of maps and photos to show you here, so just bear with me one second. As staff was mentioning, this is the recombination of two lots here to make one larger lot that is around 110 feet deep and 48 feet wide. This is the subject property today, views from West 32nd Street and from down the lane. As you can see, the 1.5-story church next door, which is a non-contributing building, and there is a home across the street, the bottom left photo here is a contributing historic structure in the district. Love this Camelback addition. We don't see that in many areas around town. The bottom right is a photo looking west down West 32nd Street. And the photo on the top is the view from the property down the lane. And there, as you can see, there are other two-story structures in the area. One of the challenges with this context, as Kelly went above and beyond to try to find examples throughout the neighborhood, is that the historic context of much of this area has been lost over time. So I have some maps to show you. Just want to share, you know, if you keep your eye on the red box there, this is the current map showing very few contributing structures in the vicinity. This is the 1955 to 66 Sanborn. So you can see West 32nd Street went through as it does today. There was also a rear lane with multiple lane dwellings on it. Our property of 605 to 607 West 32nd Street was two one-story units attached, and there was actually two-story single-family attached in the rear yard on the rear lane in a different lot. And that Mount Olive Baptist Church remains today. But you can see that this area has changed tremendously over time. There used to be a lot more lane dwellings. There used to be apartments to the south. This is a little confusing, but I tried to steal some historic aerial photos. That red line down the center is West 32nd Street moving through 1974. This area is quite dense. 1994 had been hollowed out a little bit. By 2005, we get the current lot and street configuration today. This shift has to do with the city's 1997 Cuyler-Brownville redevelopment plan under the guise of urban redevelopment laws. And that document said there were 162 vacant lots in Cuyler-Brownville in 1996 that left a chance for infill housing, and that about 10% of those parcels were duplexes. And it also calls for successful housing initiatives like affordable housing units and homeownership. So I think the shift to the Cuyler Park configuration and the lack of contributing structures that we have around this property is directly related to those redevelopment efforts when they reconfigured this area and built single-family homes on lots that are slightly larger than the typical development pattern seen in this area. So we feel the history of this lot and the desire to redevelop it in a side-by-side duplex was because of this contributing structure that is in the 600 block of West 32nd. It's 630 and 628 West 32nd. This is an attached two single-family homes. But we took this as part of our inspiration for the design. And I also wanted to point out the ADU, the addition of the ADU is to make this homeownership opportunity economically feasible for the owner to be able to supplement their income with these rental units, but also to make it more affordable for future tenants. Savannah's population is about 40% single person households right now, ranging from young professionals to seniors. But our housing stock right now is only about 17% one bedroom units. So this ADU really helps fit that market, and we felt it was leading the area back to a density level that it previously had during its historic context. I know there's a lot of conditions with this, and we have addressed many of them. There's two at the top, one and two, that I want to address with you guys moving forward, but I did want to confirm that we'll have a driveway. Much of that has to be worked out with traffic engineering on that turning radius. And also keeping in mind about our stormwater concerns to have as least amount of impervious area possible. But there will be a driveway that comes straight out from the driveway doors to the lane. The pitch of the roof is 512. We added a sidewalk from the front porch to the public sidewalk. That way the mail delivery person has easy access. And we're going to add an exterior light on the front. I want to point out the site plan that we designed both of these structures to meet the ordinance requirements. The ADU is meets the setbacks and is about, you know, as close to the front as we can get it. There are also considerable utilities in the front right-of-way on West 32nd, which meant finagling it backwards was a little difficult. The ADU size is exact to be able to meet the ordinance. We had actually designed this using the building footprint of the main dwelling, and then in discussions with ZBA, we were required to use one half of the building footprint to take one unit of the duplex to count as the principal unit, which is why we went in front of ZBA for the variance, which they did grant us. So the building size is restricted, and we also decided to do the two-story duplex to allow for parking underneath. As you know, parking is required through the city, one space per unit. The ADU is not required to have a parking spot, but the main dwelling is. So I just want to point out a lot of the space configurations that went into designing this. This is the front elevation that would face West 32nd Street, not unlike the duplex down the street, historic duplex down the street with the doors on the middle there. This is the lane dwelling, the lane side that would be visible on the west side of the property. This is the inside, the living space on the first floor, and two bedrooms and two baths upstairs. This is the ADU. Again, this is the facade that faces the lane, and we'll have the driveway coming off of the gravel lane. The ADU layout is a simple one bedroom. Bedroom is quite small, 10.4 by 11.9. Therefore, the outdoor deck partially is additional living space for this resident, and the two-car garage down below for parking. I wanted to first say that we are amenable to some sort of compromise on the deck in terms of the depth of the deck. Maybe that's a small reduction in its size, but I don't think it will be visible from the street. I did also want to follow through the thought process of, I know Kelly did a lot of work to try to find precedent for this, and so just wanted to put before you guys, does the absence of precedent of a deck or a historic deck mean that it's not compatible? I also went down the road of looking at our compatibility section talks a lot about visually related and gives greater weight to adjacent historic buildings. And because we have such few adjacent historic buildings that would dictate that, it puts this property in kind of a hard position. But I did want to point out that our ordinance requires a 6-foot porch for the main structure on the front, therefore giving usable outdoor space to those residents. And the deck for the ADU resident is that outdoor space for them. So gives them a separate outdoor space that they can enjoy, similar to the front residence. To address the ground floor visibility 30% transparency issue, again, I don't know how much of that is going to be visible from the street, given the sight lines. I also wanted to point out there seems to be differentiation between the use of the term street and lane throughout the ordinance. And the top snippet that I have here, which relates to the window transparency section, mentions the term street. The section of the code on accessory structures, which we were following in the design process of this, mentions lane. So that's another thing for you to take into consideration, that the facade of the garage is not really going to be visible from the street, although it would be visible from the lane. So just wanted to factor that into your decision as to why we were not putting windows in the garage portion of the ADU on the first floor. Thank you.
Too many commissioners have questions for the petitioner.
Kathy Levine, a quick question. Is there enough room to construct a sidewalk?
Yes. Sorry, let me run back to that. It is right down here, right where it says 47.75 feet. There is a small connecting sidewalk to the porch.
Pam. Okay, anyone else?
It's a pad, essentially, a slab. The stairs come down, there's a landing, and then it goes to the sidewalk. I'm confused with that drawing.
Yes.
Okay.
So here's the front elevation.
Correct. But I'm looking at the sidewalk, right?
Let me get back there.
So what's the 40, the, this is the a landing slab?
Mm-hmm.
And then where's the sidewalk?
The sidewalk, let me go back to the.
Okay, where the sidewalk is.
Deck visibility. There is a hard line right here that snakes along. That is the existing sidewalk. Okay. So the connector piece between the existing sidewalk to our porch will be quite shallow. It's not a very far jump.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Any other commissioners have questions, comments? Pam?
You commented that you would be perhaps amenable to reducing the size of the deck. Can you speak to that a little bit more about what you mean by reduction?
Reduction, I believe 4 feet? Maybe 20% might be reasonable. I mean, that's up to you guys. We're definitely open to that, but we definitely wanted to make sure that that ADU resident has some outdoor space, but we also don't want the entire yard taken up by the deck. So we're definitely open.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments from commissioners?
Courtney Bonney. I would think maybe the proportioning of the deck for the ADU to maybe be more compatible with the proportioning of the deck to the main structure as well. I think that's part of why it feels so large in comparison, is because those proportions aren't compatible with one another. So, you know, some kind of analysis to maybe bring those closer together, I think would help with that.
Okay. Any other comments?
This is Pam Miller again. Would it be possible to pull the stairs back into what the deck plan now is? So rather than have the stairs extend beyond that, just have the stairs pull back to reduce the size of the deck?
Yes. That would be possible.
Okay, commissioners, anything else? All right, at this point, we have two members of the public that would like to speak on this project. The first one I'm going to call is Ellie Isaacs. Okay, so that one's done. And the next one is Stacy Royalston. Shirley Royalston. Please state your name.
I'm Shirley Royalston. We have lived there at 604 West 32nd Street for the past 61 years. And I just feel that for the size of that property, this building will definitely be overwhelming. It's two off the lane. To the right is like three single story homes. It seems to me that they will have no type of privacy, because if you are doing a ADU on the lane side, it's extending over into their yards. Then, just like the gentleman on the corner, seemed like he's already having a problem with trying to turn into his property. And it seemed like this proposal is just taking away the rights of the previous homeowners that has been in the neighborhood for the past since the redevelopment of the neighborhood. Now, nothing is going to affect us because, like I said, we are on the corner. But I'm just concerned. These are senior citizens. He's a senior citizen. He's trying to, be active as long as he possibly can by doing, by driving and picking up his kids that does not drive. And all of this, this seemed like lack of consideration for him. Let's see. And we love the neighborhood, and I just hate to see this this building is just seem like it's just too large for the size. And also, we have another neighbor that has been there from the inception of the neighborhood. This will be overlooking into her yard. She has a side porch or whatever. And again, it's just like no privacy for any of the previous neighbors. It just seemed like it's entirely too much. Will there also be a garden area? I know you spoke about, I think earlier, that you all do not put any type of consideration into a garden area. Because all of our neighborhoods are composed with a front porch, the steps, and then we have a garden area, then we have a walkway and a sidewalk. So will is this how this building will look in our neighborhood? Because the green building that she's showing down the street, I think that's 614. This building is a old building and it's grandfathered in. You see. So I understand that you're trying to take all your references from this building, but it's just like I said, I believe that building is on somewhat of a larger lot than what they are planning on using the 605 for. Okay. So I think that's all I have to say. It's just like, again, I'd say this just seemed like it's no consideration for the neighbors with three single family homes there. Now it's a two story. The fourth house, I believe, is a two story. But like I said, the other ones are just, single family, one story home.
Any questions?
What's your name again, ma'am?
Charlie Royalston.
Ms. Shirley.
604 West 32nd Street.
Ms. Shirley, I want to thank you for coming out and providing us with your comments, because some board members don't go out and do site visits. So you just given us a clearer picture of the property and the surrounding properties. Houses that are there. So
yeah, the turning radius for, like I said, for some of the neighbors, for mainly the gentleman on the corner, is already awful. And so he has to drive up into the lot that they, the 605 lot, in order to get into his property. So, and then the gentleman next to him, I really can't tell you his address. But he has the yellow home, and he has to back out of his driveway because all of our parking is either on the street or on the side or in the rear when they reconfigured our neighborhood, you see. Okay. Any other questions? We love our neighborhood.
Thank you. Thank you for coming up. Would the petitioner like to come back?
Thank you. I also want to say thanks to Ms. Royalston for coming to share that as well. We are happy to look into the landscaping in the front of the house to make sure it's up to the neighborhood standards. If everyone takes great care of the tree lawn and neighborhood there. I did want to point out that our kind of example duplex down the street of 628 to 630 West 32nd is almost entirely the same. I believe that one is 45 feet wide and ours is 48 feet wide. So it's very similar and was one of the reasons why we were looking so heavily at that. And we are happy to look into the turning radius of that lane and work with traffic engineering to make sure that the placement of our driveway doesn't impact the other neighbors. But that is a full service lane. It's not one of the teeny tiny lanes that you see around town.
Thank you. Do any commissioners have questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none. Yeah, of course.
Pat Richardson, is the house down the street, the two-story house, is it the same height as the house that you're proposing to build?
I do not know the answer to
or
that.
Or is your house taller?
I do not know the answer to that. This is that house in question, which is next to some non-contributing and some contributing infill. But that's a very good question.
Scott Krauser, can I add to that question? Is that on the map that you have highlighted with the red, is that number 25, the one down the street? It's the one that shows the two stories in relation to the property.
Yes, I believe that is number 25.
And the one that the neighborhood representative is referring to, is it that one, or is there a two-story one actually in that block of houses there that are all yellow?
The, I believe, third or fourth house, either 63 or 64 on this map, is a two-story house, okay, which you can see in this top right photo.
Katrina Hornung, I'm just wondering, so I'm seeing a 30-foot two dimension to the ridge on the main house. Is there any type of wiggle room with that? Or is that, I mean, I understand, you know.
I'm sure there is. I mean, I'm not an architect, so I'm not skilled in coming up with that on the fly.
Understood.
This is Pam Miller. Just one last question. Are you then amenable to pulling the stairs back into the current deck plan, number one? And number two, are you amenable to meeting the standards for residential transparency for the bottom floor of the ADU?
We are happy to work with staff to shift the deck so it's a size that makes everybody happy. I stand firm that the 30% visibility for a garage doesn't make sense because that garage is not going to be visible from the street.
Okay, I'll defer to staff.
Any other comments from commissioners? Okay, we will now go into commission discussion. At this time, we will now enter into the discussion. No further comments will be accepted. Each commissioner shall have 2 minutes to comment. So let's start with Katrina.
Katrina Hornung, I want to thank the commissioner. You know, we do love to see projects that increase the density of these neighborhoods, but I am concerned that the scale of these buildings might eclipse the surrounding with a 30-foot two on the main home and 23-3 on the ADU, as well as the concerns of the neighbors, I think should be taken into account as well. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Brian Woods, I have the same concerns.
This is Pam Miller. The petitioner seems willing to work with the staff to reduce the size of the deck to at least include as much as the stairs, to make that, and also because there is a question as to the visual compatibility and the site vision from the lane, also to accept your recommendations for the, as far as the transparency goes, because I understand that it almost, well, what we were given looked like was either going to be it could be an either or 30 or 50. I would think that as the petitioner would want to do a 30, but if that's the way that it reads, that it's got to be the 30 or the 50, then.
And staff's concerns mainly with the one that may or may not be visible from Burr Street. So that would, I believe, be one of these two elevations. It was difficult to tell on Google whether or not the elevation is visible. Staff is okay with this, with the crosswords. It was just whether or not that first floor is visible from Burroughs. That's the main concern. Most of it should be obscured, but it's, again, difficult to tell on Google.
And we could just leave that to staff, your decision?
I'm comfortable with it if the board is comfortable with it.
Okay.
Pat Richardson, when I did my site visit and I looked at the submittal packet, I was very concerned with the size of what was going to be put on the lot itself. The entire dwelling just eclipsed everything that's around there. If you're willing to work with the deck, then I would like to think that you would be willing to work with the height of the dwelling itself as well. So that's all I have to say.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with the comments that were previously made on the height and massing. I did have a question, though. Can you go back to the floor plan where it's kind of showing the relation of the setback to the house next door? And the concerns from the public, is the building on the left of that drawing, is that the frontage there with, you know, it's just a tiny little line, but this building builds all the way out to the property line and those are set back that far for the yards?
Got to turn that off. So this is a side, this building right here, so let me pull it up. If you see it on Google, it makes a little bit more sense. So this is that building that's next door. So this is a side that the side property facing, and then that's the front. So the front in the same way.
Yeah, lot coverage and size, I would agree with those comments and the comments on the deck and the window fenestrations.
Can you please bring it back to the architectural drawings? All right. So, Kathy Ledbina, I'm a little worried about the height and the mass as well. I do think it overwhelms the predominantly one-story buildings in that block. I understand that there are two-story buildings outside of that area. But I also have a concern with the fenestration pattern. If you look at the proposed drawings, there's three bays on the first floor and maybe two bays on the second floor, and the windows don't align. So I think your rhythm to solids and voids and the relationship from the first floor to the second floor is mismatched. And I'd like to see a more comprehensive facade with, the fenestration pattern moved, redesigned with a really solid relationship between the first and the second floor windows, solids to voids. And I agree with the deck as well. And I have my concerns.
Courtney Bonney, I think, you know, looking over everything, I think there's definitely some concerns with some of the massing. I think we could look at potentially addressing some of those through some redesigns. I probably should have asked earlier, but the requirement to have the two the garage for the ADU was to meet the zoning standards for the duplex. Is that accurate?
Can you restate the question? Can you say it again, Cord?
The two-car garage underneath the ADU, is that to meet the zoning requirement?
Yes, I understand. It's one parking space per unit,
required per unit,
not counting the ADU. So it's for the duplex.
Okay. All right. Those were my thoughts on that one.
Okay, so let's go through and have more comments. Katrina, anything else?
No further comment.
No further comment.
This is Pam Miller. Because we've got so many concerns, and both the height as well as, again, the deck and the all of it, would we be better off asking for this to be continued, or would we be looking to...
Yeah, if you want the height and mass altered, it's probably best for this to come back. So no, I'm not comfortable reviewing that. I'm sure the board will want to see it again if it's going to be reduced in height and scale.
Thank you.
Pat Richardson, I agree. I think we need to continue this one.
Scott Krotzer, I agree. No further comment.
Kathy Ledvina, I would again reiterate my fenestration pattern on the front facade.
Courtney Bonnie, I agree.
Can I have a motion, please?
Based on the comments of my fellow commissioners, this is Pam Miller, and I want to make a motion to continue the position to what do we think of a month?
Maybe two, depending on how comfortable you are and how comfortable the applicant will be to give us plans, hopefully enough.
For petition of Hestia Community Partners, Brianna Paxton, 25001118 COA, 605 West 32nd Street. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition as outlined until May 28th, because of commission and questions posed to the petitioner.
Pat Richardson, I second.
Okay, Katrina.
Katrina Horn, approve.
Brian Woods, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Pantrika, I approve. The motion carries to continue this item. Now to the next item on the agenda. We've got the petition of Carl Joseph, 25001042. 814 West 39th Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant's requesting approval to install a 9-foot by 9-foot rear addition to the property located at 814 West 39th Street. The area where the addition is proposed is attached to a later side addition to the house. The applicant is also requesting a variance recommendation request for a side yard setback. So as you can see, the area where the addition is proposed to go would be kind of just tucked into this kind of an addition to the addition with a deck. We can see there's a site plan kind of showing where it would be filled in. Elevations. Their framing plan, floor plan, just kind of going a little more into the detail of the structure and the deck. But just for a little bit of background, this 814 West 39th Street was built in 1919 and is a contributing resource within the Kyler Brownsville Local Historic District and National Register District. It is situated on a block with nearly all contributing resources. There are various one-story wood frame bungalow style houses that all have a similar but not identical appearance and several two-story wood frame buildings. It's not uncommon to see smaller one-story additions on houses in this neighborhood. The Sanborn maps from 1953 and 1955 to 66 show that in both maps, the configuration of the house had not changed, and it reflects what is still seen today. There are no earlier Sanborn maps for this site, as the 1916 map shows how there were only two houses constructed on this block at the time. The construction date of the addition is not known, but it was before the 1950s. Whether it was built in the period of significance, which ends in 1937, is not known. So just to go through with the, first we'll kind of look at the variance criteria. The general consistency, the staff found the standard to be met. The variance for the addition is not injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to public health, safety, and welfare. There's a 1-hour fire-rated wall that will be installed as part of the safety measures with the project. For special conditions, the houses in this neighborhood are situated closely together, and this house in particular has an unusual existing side addition that exceeds the side yard setback and is up against the fence between the two yards. This addition was constructed sometime prior to 1953, may have been conforming at the time. The special conditions and or circumstances do not result from the actions of the applicant. The conditions are existing on the lot as is and were not a result of actions taken by the applicant. The special conditions and or circumstances are not purely financial in nature. While there may be some financial aspect, it does not appear to be the only reason, as the intent is to provide more living space in a small house. For literal interpretation, the literal interpretation of the regulations would not deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by their properties in the same zoning district. It is not uncommon for alterations and additions to occur on older buildings, and many such cases have been previously approved with the variances. On the other hand, the structure was knowingly acquired in its current form. This would be the minimum variance necessary to construct the requested addition. It would also be the maximum variance possible, since the request is to have a zero side yard setback. And approval of the variance would not confer special privilege to the property owner on this small project. Our staff found many of the other conditions to be met. So just to go over Secretary of the Interior standards, there will be a minimal amount of material removed in order to connect the addition to the house via the existing side addition. There's an existing window that appears would be adjusted to a doorway that would connect the rooms. The site plan does not indicate any other demolition. Can go back to this and the elevation drawing. The addition is small, and it would not create a false sense of historical development. The distinctive features of this house are largely on the front elevation, which is also the most visible from the public right of way, as the lane view of the rear elevation is partially obstructed by a fence. Additionally, a portion of the siding and one window are the only items that will be obstructed by this work. And just to kind of go over how we're seeing this from the street view, these are just various perspectives from the side of the front of the house, but towards the back, you're not seeing any of this. And then just what we're seeing from the rear. For additions to not damage, the size of the addition will be done in a way that is minimally destructive to the entire building and is designed to fit within the massing size scale and architectural features of the main building. Staff found the design standards were met on this project, and therefore, staff recommends to approve the request to install a 9-foot by 9-foot rear addition and deck to the property located at 814 West 39th Street as requested, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, and recommend that the Historic Preservation Commission recommend approval of the variance that reads TR3 building setback, single family detached side yard, 3-foot minimum, to allow for a 0-foot setback in which the addition would be constructed because the request meets the variance criteria. Thank you, and I'll be happy to take your questions.
Members, are there any questions for the staff? Okay, hearing no questions, can we have the petitioner come up and state their name?
I believe the petitioner is online, Carl Joseph.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, I am here. I'm Carl Joseph. I am the petitioner.
Can we make that a little louder?
That's just a moment. Okay. Is that better?
Yes.
Great.
Okay. Do you have any positions you'd like to express?
Actually, Caitlin Field did a very thorough job in explaining the intention and the scope of work. I don't think I have anything in particular to add at the moment.
Thank you. Do any commission members have questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none. We have no members of the public signed up to talk about this. We'll go ahead and close this for a board discussion. We'll start with Katrina.
Katrina Hornung, I agree with staff recommendation.
Brian Woods, I agree with staff recommendation.
Ms. Pam Miller, I agree with staff recommendations. No more comment.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff recommendations. No further comment.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with staff recommendations. No comment.
Kathy Libina, I think that you should not reuse the window because it does create a false sense of history. If you use a historic window in a new addition, obviously it's a false sense of history. So I think we need to redesign that aspect. And I'm concerned about the neighbor next door. If you continue building to the zero lot line, which is not allowed, and there is a 3-foot setback for a reason, then the windows on the adjoining neighbor's house will be obscured. And you've just really ruined a lot of light and atmosphere that comes into their house by allowing a variance.
Courtney Bonney, no comments.
Okay, can I get a recommendation? Would somebody like to make a motion?
Trina Hornung. I move that the Historic Preservation approve the petition of Carl Joseph 25-001042 COA 814 West 39th Street. Addition and variance estimated because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility standards as set forth in the sitting of Savannah Zoning Ordinance and recommend the Historic Preservation Commission approve the variance requested.
Scott Krotzer, I second that.
Okay, let's have a vote. Start with Katrina.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Brian Woods, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Kathy Libina, deny.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Nutrika, approve. Motion carries. We will now go on to the next item. The petition of Ben Parson, 25-001079, 514 East 38th Street, after the fact, rehabilitation alterations.
Afternoon, this is Kelly again. So again, this is a request for after the fact alterations to the front porch and gate, as well as an additional decorative features to the front porch of 514 East 38th Street. Based on available information, the previous trim and handrail was installed sometime between 1994 and 2007 based on available photos. Also between 2014 and 2019, the front steps were altered from concrete flanked by masonry to a wood or similar type material. So based on this information, the previous porch elements were not historic. Also, all this work was done prior to the overlay coming into effect. After the fact work includes the removal and replacement of the front porch steps, the replacement of the posts and handrails, and the covering of a pergola type element over the gate. The posts were installed between April 2023 and December of 2024 based on available date stamped photos from Sages. The other work took place sometime after December of 2024. Staff finds that the steps as well as the handrails all meet the standards since there are similar to what was there previously, also similar work is seen in the immediate area. Staff has concerns about the post on the structure, given they're much smaller than what's typically seen in the immediate area. So this is a better photo of what the post will look like. The photos they see on your screen now are the homes in the immediate area. So typically those are, you know, the typical Doric columns or wider at the base and go and taper up. So staff finds that the posts do not meet the standards and a different type of post should be installed if that's more visually compatible. The other area of concern is this element right here. I don't know if the pergola element is still under there, but staff assumed it was. Staff finds that this element does not meet the standards and should be removed. Also kind of worth noting is that other work may have been done to this gate as well. There is concerns about this gate being on the neighboring property. So staff's not going to talk about that this time due to ongoing concerns about who owns the gate as a whole. With that, staff recommends approval of the alterations to the front porch and the addition of the proposed decorative elements with the following condition to be reviewed by staff before work takes place because the work is otherwise visually compatible, meets standards, and thus propose and utilize the front porch posts that are more visually compatible, and to deny the alteration to the fence gate because the work is not visually compatible. With that, does the board have any questions?
Board members, are there any questions of staff?
Kathy Ledvine, I've got a question for staff. It's obvious that 512 and 516 are the same design. So when you say porch posts that are visually compatible, are you looking at the turned posts to 516, or are you looking at the square posts to 512, or what is your thought about visual compatibility for the porch posts?
Let me pull it up real quick. So this is the neighboring properties for reference as well. Mm-hmm. So staff was looking just at the homes in the immediate area. I mean, it would be preferable to go back to more, something more identical, but staff was just looking at the homes on the media block. So whichever, you know, if you would like this to be, the post go back to this.
I would like that.
Yeah. Just made that a condition if the board members agree.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from members of the board? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner? Please state your name.
Ben Parsons.
Okay. Anything you'd like to tell us?
Those are the posts that were there when we bought the house. We didn't change anything with the posts. As far as the gate goes, the door was falling apart. So we just built a new door out of cedar. We didn't change dimensions or move anything. And that's just trim above it because what was there before were just like pieces of 2x4. So we thought it looked nicer. We removed the plywood corbels and purchased 1920s corbels that would have been more like what was originally there. So just kind of tried to make it look more like it would have.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for the petitioner?
This is Pat Miller. Do you, based on what the staff is saying, are you in approval with those recommendations? I know you said they were there when you bought the house.
Yeah, the posts were there before. So, I mean, coming out of my pocket to put on new posts when they were already like that seems a little unfair, but.
And how about the gate? Would you be willing to make the gate?
I mean, we could take the trim off, and what was originally there when we bought the house is still there. It's just
but what was originally there doesn't meet criteria. So if you're making an alteration, would you be willing to alter it back to what would meet criteria?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm just having a hard time understanding. We bought the house that way, and so if you have an issue with what we did adding the trim, I understand that, and we can take the trim off, and what was above that door is still there.
Let me go back to your... And you are coming here, though, to request an approval to retain the after-the-fact alterations.
Yes. I'd be willing to take that trim off above the door if that's the issue. We've tried to make the porch look more like what it would have. It was falling apart, and... And then as far as the posts go, if we had to, I guess we could change them. It's those are what were there when we bought the house.
Let me ask staff a question, if I may, real quick. Is there a concern about this being on the neighbor's property as well?
Yeah, there's some concern. This was raised by the neighbor. The property line does seem to land somewhere within the state. So technically, you know, that's something that does need to be addressed before any more work takes place. So that's why we're not reviewing the remainder of the gate, because there are concerns about who owns the gate and how that work takes place.
All right. Thank you.
We owned our house before the neighbor bought their house, and they contacted us before buying the house and had an issue with, that door belonging to us, and they wanted access to that door. They wanted a key to the door. Huh? And we have the same situation to the other side of us, where if we need to get to our side of the house, we just go to the neighbor and say, hey, we need to get back there at this time if we need to paint or something. We told them that we would appreciate to do it the same way over there. We have pets. We wouldn't want them getting out if someone just opened that door that wasn't me or my wife. They had an issue with that. They bought the house anyway. They have been incredibly pushy and borderline have harassed my wife and I. They ended up putting in a gate in their backyard that accesses our area now, and it's been a whole thing. So, just taking their word for things is a little unfair with how difficult it's been. Dealing with them and how pushy they've been since they bought the house, since before they bought the house.
Thank you for your comments.
Any more questions of the petitioner? Okay, I've got one more comment card from Ellie Isaacs.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC agrees with staff's recommendations, including the denial of the fence and the gate alterations. However, we do have significant concerns regarding the new stairs that have been constructed. Do you have that pulled up? Sorry. As it appears that there used to be four treads and now there's only three, and now we're concerned because of the alterations that have taken place if now the lack of handrails meets building code. Thank you.
All right. At this time, I will go ahead and close the this down to staff. Do you have something to add?
Not this moment, no.
Okay, let's go ahead and close this down to a board discussion. We're going to start with Katrina.
Katrina Hornung. The gate oddly reminds me of like a hospitality door of Charleston. I would like to see the trim removed, but I don't believe any other alterations need to be made to that. As far as the posts, I would love to see some corbels, some more ornamentation, which you have shown here.
I believe the corbels are part of the application. Okay. These have not been installed yet.
Understood. Okay.
That's it. Thank you.
Brian Woods, I don't see any problem with it. No comment.
This is Pam Miller. I am going to go along with staff recommendations. Thank you.
Pat Richardson, I'm going to go along with staff recommendations.
Scott Krotzer, the historical photos, can you bring those up to black and whites?
So this one's from 1994.
Yeah, that seems to be the only one, which doesn't have any corbels, right?
Not that I could tell now.
If you go in the breadth of like additions also have a history to them, including the fretwork. How old was it again?
The 96. Home or the work?
So the fretwork and the corbels, the detail on the porch, when was that added?
We don't have exact date, so this is the earliest photo. The next one we can find is 2007. So,
okay, so
kind of a wide range.
No further comment.
Kathy Levina, I do have concerns with the porch design. I think you could look to 516 and gain some insight as to the original porch design with the turned columns as well as the embedded columns in the clapboard. You know, it's hard to tell because we don't know what was original because it was done before we had a chance to look. So, you know, they used to, those jigsaw designs were essentially made out of plywood. They were flat jigsaw cut wood. And we don't know if there was spindle work detail. I mean, obviously the 94 doesn't show it. And that's a horrible picture. And then I agree with the steps going to the porch. There were originally four, and I would think that they would be wood versus the concrete with the side balusters. I did not see in those photographs, I didn't see any indication that the steps were underneath the wood steps that were existing, I guess, in 2019. And then my question is, if staff went out and saw if those balusters, I only see the angle of the balusters are indeed 36 inches tall and 4 inches apart.
So staff, we did go out to the site. We did not measure it. 36% rule typically applies to new construction. But if you'd like, yeah.
So, this isn't sort of new construction.
Yeah.
Courtney Bonney, I agree with the staff recommendation.
Okay, at this point, do I hear a motion?
Kathy Levine, a further comment. We can take the porch construction detail back to staff versus coming to the board.
If you'd like us to review it, otherwise they would have come back.
Feel comfortable doing that?
Yeah.
And do we feel comfortable about using 516 as a... Thank you.
Any further comments from commissioners? Okay, can I get a motion?
This is Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Ben Parsons, 25001079COA 514 East 38th Street, with the following conditions. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with visual compatibility and criteria set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance. Number one, proposed and utilized front porch posts are visually compatible. Work with staff on that. And secondly, is to deny the alteration to the fence gate because the work is not visually compatible.
Pat Richardson, second.
Okay, let's go to a vote. Start with Katrina.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Brian Woods, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Kathy Levina, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Fentrick, I also approve. The motion carries. Now let's go on to the petition of Ethos Preservation, Ellen Harris, 25-001127, 316 West 47th Street, new construction.
This is Kelly again. So the applicant is requesting approval for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for accessory dwelling unit at 316 West 40th Street. The proposed accessory building meets all the setbacks and has a footprint that is less than 40% of the primary structures and that is less than 700 square feet. Also, the total lot coverage is less than 60%. The located ADU or accessory building will be located at the back of the property and again meets all the proposed setbacks. There is only one contributing kind of accessory building or building type on the lane that staff was able to compare this building to. Staff finds the proposed building is visually compatible with that one lane structure. Proposed materials include wood siding, clapboard siding windows, asphalt shingles, steel garage doors, and stairs and a fence that are made of pressure-treated wood. The applicant will need to provide specifications for the pedestrian door if visible. Overall, again, the building meets the standards. The applicant is also proposing a fence which will start at the back corner of the home. This does meet all the standards for material and for height. The applicant will need to confirm that the fence is no less than 5 feet from the building in which it's parallel to. So with that, staff recommends approval of the new construction small parts 1 and 2 for the accessory building at 316 West 40th Street with the following conditions to be met because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meet the standards. Again, those conditions are seen on the screen. The commission have any questions?
Board members, any questions of staff? Okay, hearing none. Can we have the petitioner please speak? State your name.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation. We are in complete agreement with all the staff recommendations and are happy to comply. Happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions of board members?
Kathy Levina, is there an 8-inch overhang?
Yes, ma'am, there is.
Thank you.
Okay, hearing no other questions, we have one member of the public that wants to speak. Ellie Isaacs.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC agrees with staff recommendations. However, we have a few concerns related to visual compatibility. The ADU is wide on the lot, and according to the sandboard maps that were provided, historically there arguably were three bays versus the two that are being presented today. Our ARC believes that providing the three bays as well as the additional access with the man door would be more appropriate. We also believe that extending the rain roof that you see here over to provide cover for the man door would also be more appropriate. Minor adjustments to the fenestration to be more balanced on the north or lane facade, as you can see here, would result in a more visually compatible design as well. Thank you.
Okay, at this time, with no other members of the public speaking, we will close this to board discussions. We will start with Katrina.
Katrina Hornung, I agree with staff recommendations.
Brian Woods, I agree with staff recommendations.
Dan Miller approves staff recommendations.
Pat Richardson, I approve staff recommendations.
Scott Crosser, I agree with staff recommendations.
Kathy Ledbina. I believe that the carriage house would be more visually compatible with the main structure as that it's supposed to relate to. If the window design was 1/1, not 2/1, the main house is 1/1. And this, the carriage house is supposed to be simplified. And that goes against that principle. So 1/1, I think, is more appropriate. The rain roof overhang is an element that does not suit well with me. I feel it's a modern feature. It's not visually compatible on a carriage house. You don't need a rain roof. You've got an overhang. You can add a gutter and a downspout. That's a very easy solution so that rain doesn't splash back on your garage doors. You can slope the water away. The rain roof element, it's not a feature that you see anywhere in any a historic home. Now you can, to me, it's a permanent wood shingle awning, which doesn't even make sense. I think you can add a very well-designed door overhang or a door canopy that complements the architectural style at 316, right there, 40th Street. You can, again, the rain roof's not needed because there's not a rain roof over the door. So the doors would be my concern, not the garage. So the rain roof element, I believe, needs to be redesigned, or it needs to be redesigned more in keeping with a historic feature, or, again, integrated with that third bay, which can be, again, a well-designed door canopy. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Courtney Bonney, I did have a question. Is there a drawing that shows the elevation that includes the original structure so you could see the scale and how they relate to one another?
Let me check real quick. It is not Pearson.
Okay. I was just having a hard time getting a feel for the scale of the carriage house in relation to the main structure. So that was just my comment, that it would be helpful to have an elevation that continues to show both of them together with one another. But that's my only comment.
Okay. At this time, can I get a recommendation from one of the board commission members?
Well, Katrina Horn, do we want to ask the petitioner if they're amenable to any of the changes Kathy has proposed?
Sure. Can the commissioner please come up and address those?
Yeah, we'd be happy to look at the window design as well as the rain roof over the garage doors and the porch. We would just ask that if it will be possible to come back to staff for review and approval, we would appreciate that, just to not delay the project.
Okay, let's ask for another round of comments from the members of the board. Katrina?
No further comment.
Brian Woods, no comment.
Pam Miller, considering the petitioner is willing to come back and work with staff to address that rain roof that was brought up, so I'm comfortable with doing that.
Yeah, Richardson, I'm comfortable with the petitioner coming back and addressing the concerns with staff.
Scott Krotzer, I'm comfortable with staff review.
And I would like to say the 1/1 windows, I think that is mandatory.
Courtney Bonney, I agree.
Excellent. Do we have a motion on the floor?
Katrina Hornung, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Ethos Preservation, Ellen Harris, my apologies, 25-001127-COA, 316 West 40th Street, with the following conditions, number 1-4, with an additional condition that the windows be changed to a 1/1, and that the rain roof be explored further. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Just a second.
Okay, having a motion brought to the floor and seconded, I would like to call for a vote. Let's start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Kathy Litvina, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Brian Woods, approve.
Katrina Horton, approve.
Jeff Enterica, approve. The motion carries. All right, let's go on to petition number 17 of Ethos Preservation, Ellen Harris again. Petition number 25001123, 509 East 39th Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Afternoon again, this is Kelly. So the applicant is requesting approval for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for an accessory dwelling unit at 509 East 39th Street. The proposed accessory building meets all the setbacks and has a footprint that is less than 40% of the primary building's footprint and less than 700 square feet. Also, the lot coverage with the proposed building will be less than 60 feet. The building will be located in the back of a lot. And just a quick note, there is no alley behind this property, so the applicant can have a driveway coming off the street. There is a minor error in the site plan. It lists the rear setback at 0 inches. Staff confirmed with the applicant it is actually 5 feet, so the standards are met in this case. Staff is just asking for an updated site plan where the correction is made. Staff found that overall massing, height, width, and openings meet the standards and are visually compatible. The applicant is also proposing a fence for the property. During discussion with the applicant, it was found that the site plan does not include the correct location for the fence. It does not show the fence going around the entire property. So again, the site plan should be updated to show the correct location for the fence. Also, like with the previous plot project, applicants should note and confirm that the fence is a minimum of 5 feet from the neighboring property in which it is parallel. There are also some kind of minor details that need to be confirmed. This includes providing specifications for the pedestrian doors, providing the details for the siding. The narrative states that wood will be used while the plans show hardy, either one's appropriate. We just need to know which one. The applicant should indicate if the stair materials will be painted or stained. And finally, the applicant should provide lighting specifications if they're being proposed. So with that, the applicant, staff approves, recommends approval for the new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for the accessory building at 509 East 39th Street with the conditions listed on the screen. Does the board have any questions or concerns?
Do any of the commissioners have questions? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Ellen Harris, Ethos Preservation. Again, we are happy to comply with all staff recommendations and apologize that we had some minor errors in the site plan, but we'll confirm that and submit to staff for review and for review if with compliance with the ordinance. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Board members, do we have any questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none. There are no members of the public that seem to have comment on this. So at this time, I'd like to close the public portion and go to a board discussion. And we will start with Courtney.
I don't have any comments.
Kathy Litvina, if you go to the main house, can we get the picture of the main house? So I look at the main house, and you look at the main house, and it's an asymmetrical colonial revival. There's siding with a side gable roof. The windows on this type of style, the windows do frequently appear in pairs, so I'm good with the carriage house having the pairs of windows in this style. However, you also see 9/9 windows. You see this 9/1 window. And so I'm going back to the carriage house now saying the pattern should be probably 1/1, again, a simplified sash pattern on the carriage house. And I do have concern with the door canopy being integrated in the main roof. I think the canopy over the door needs to be separated from the main roof and become a element in its own right. And you can have a lot of fun redesigning that element and the rain roof element. With some craftsman style influence that you see again on the main house. I'm just very concerned about the rain roof. I do not think they're visually compatible, with the style. And I understand it's the same architect it's the same architect. Thank you.
Scott Crosser, I don't have any comment.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Brian Woods, no comment.
Katrina Horn. Similar to Kathy's comment, I would like to see that roof overhang kind of separated from the main roof line. I just feel it looks odd. No further comment.
Okay, at this point, could we have a nomination by one of the commissioners?
Kathy Ledvarna. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Ethos Preservation, Ellen Harris, New Construction, Small Part 1-2, 25-00123-COA 509 East 39th Street with the following conditions, 1 through 5 as stated, number 6 with 1/1 windows on the carriage house, and staff review of the removal or redesign of the rain roof. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Katrina Horner, I second the motion.
Okay, let's go to a vote. We'll start with Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, I approve.
Kathy Ledvarna, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Brian Woods, approve.
Katrina Horner, approve.
Jeff Antrico, approve. The motion carries. John, at this point, I guess we're going to address item number 3 off the consent agenda. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, I can go ahead if y'all are ready.
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting an amendment to the previously approved rehabilitation and addition at 1011 Jefferson Street. The original project included adding a second floor, but the revised project omits the second floor and rooftop patio. The project still includes rehabilitation and alterations work, including repairs and updates to improve the structure's strength, layout, and overall function. The southern building will still be reclad with a new siding, as well as the addition of new windows and reopening the corner entrance as a door. So just to show, the previously approved project was here, where we're seeing a second story addition. There was a special exception to get this rooftop patio. And now you can see them side by side. This is kind of going back to what it looks like now with the minor alterations. This is where it's located. This is what it looks like currently. So in a sense, this is removing the addition portion of the project, lessening the scope of the work. The original project was approved on October 23rd of 2024 with the conditions. The conditions were to reconfigure square casement windows to be taller than they are wide and reconfigure the large fixed window on the first story of the existing brick building to meet the ordinance and be more consistent with the historic corner store entrance. The reconfiguring of the casement windows no longer applies since the second floor has been omitted. For the former entrance, when the building was a store, there has been a redesign where a wood door that is similar to the other doors on the building will be installed instead of the originally proposed fixed window. And we can see right there. And then the other conditions no longer apply, which was just also aligning the windows and then looking at a 2-foot setback, so the second floor addition was not distinguishable from the existing building. So essentially, staff found that because this was a lot of going back to where we're at with the conditions that exist today, with the minor rehabilitation and alterations, that this project is meeting the standards, this amendment rather, So staff recommends to approve the requested amendment to 24-004714-COA for the rehabilitation project at 1011 Jefferson Street, including removal of the second story addition and inclusion of a door in the corner entrance as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Do any commissioners have questions for staff?
Scott Krotzer, just one question. So are they doing any roof work on this? I noticed the reason I ask is that I know it's not a contributing building, correct?
Correct.
But it's almost 100 years old, and the crenellation, I'm not sure that's the right word, but the storefront, like where the sign used to go on the front, we completely lose that again with them not putting a flat roof or the second addition. And I was just wondering if they were going to be doing any roof work where that could be restored.
My understanding is that they were keeping it as it currently looks right now.
Thank you. No further questions.
The questions. At this time, I guess I would like to hear from the petitioner.
Good afternoon, everyone. Jerome Elder with J. Elder Studio. As presented, I think we agreed with the staff comments. And to answer your question, we are not planning to do any work to the roof, so it's remaining as the existing shed roof. But I do understand that that detail along the parapet will not be made prominent. But for now, this is where we've landed. So, any other questions?
Katrina Hornung. I'm just going back over my notes from the previous time you came before us.
Yes.
And, you know, I remember you guys had some community support behind this project. Can you just speak as to why the scope of work has changed?
Ownership just opted to keep it this way as they started to explore the project even further, and we went along with it. They said they would rather keep it here, just deal with interior renovation for the most part, address the smaller of the two buildings, and move forward from there. That was the decision.
Do you know the commissioners have questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none, we've got one comment card from Ellie Isaacs.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Thank you for allowing us to pull this from consent today. Our ARC is appreciative now that the second story has ultimately been removed from this petition. However, we had concerns, and I think there was a little bit of miscommunication within our committee. We thought that this was a new roof style that was coming onto the building and not what's currently existing. But as such, we thought that considering the fact that the work is taking place, we agree that that there's a loss of features within the parapet because of the fact that the shed roof is overhanging. So we were hoping that maybe that could be a condition of the board to alter that existing condition. Thank you.
Thank you. No further comment from the public at this point. I'll close the public portion of this, and we'll go to board discussion. I'd like to start with Courtney.
I don't have any comments on this one.
Kathy Levine, I mean, you could define that parapet detailing with paint, which we're not supposed to discuss, but it could be further defined.
Yeah, I agree that since the roof isn't being changed, I was just hoping maybe they were going back to the flat roof with my comments. But yeah, maybe a change in color of material from that gray just to accentuate it a little bit would help.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Pam Miller, no further comments.
Ryan Woods, no comment.
Katrina Horner, no comment.
Thank you. Do I have a recommendation on the floor? Kathy?
Kathy Lidvina, do you have to take it back, please? Thank you. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 241-004714-CO81011 Jefferson Street. I don't have the name. Jerome? J. Elder Studio. As submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Verena Horning, I second the motion.
Okay, let's call for a vote. I'd like to start with Courtney.
Approve. Kathy Lidvina, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Brian Woods, approve.
Katrina Horning, approved.
Jeff Ventrico, approve. The motion carries. Next, we're on to stamp drawings report. Jonathan?
Nothing particularly to report. Just as usual, the list of the drawings that we've stamped and then the inspections completed by staff.
Okay. I think that concludes our work for the day. Thank everyone for – oh, yeah, sorry.
Can you talk about the continuing education?
Yes. So you should have all received an email from me, I hope. We are tentatively scheduled for Friday, May 2nd. It will not be held here. We're still working on – Pam's working on finalizing the exact location – but we will be in touch with you. And I believe there are going to be four topics that we're going to be discussing. We wanted to zero in on not just kind of like basic, you all have a lot of experience with historic preservation and planning. So we're not going to say to you, what is historic preservation? Not us, but the speakers. But basically one of the things we thought that they're offering is for alternative materials, because that's a big issue that's coming up. About whether, you know, composite material can be used for replacement windows, shutters, et cetera, and things like that. So I believe it's going to be held at the Civic Center potentially. But we will be back to you on that with all the details. But I really appreciate I've heard from many of you about the second. Yes, it's going to be on the second.
Jonathan, is there any way that can be recorded? I mean, at this point, I do, like I already
yeah,
told you.
Yeah, I know. You told me you couldn't. I believe the room would probably have that capability, but I don't know. I've never been there.
Thank you. I hate to miss it, but I'll try to rearrange, but what I have is hard to rearrange.
No, we understand, Pam. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we adjourn at this time? Have a motion?
So moved. Pam Miller.
Second, Kathy Lidvina.
Thank you for your time. We'll see you on the 23rd.
Thank you.